Then what do you do with that?
Stick it in your pocket.
Put it in my pocket, yeah. See, that's new to me as well. Usually I have a microphone in my hand, so I don't really know what to do with my hands. So keep them in the back. By the way, whose birthday is it this month? Or all right, whose birthday was it the previous week?
It was yours, Andre?
So many, and mine as well. Congratulations to everyone. Thanks for all the birthday greetings on Facebook. Kind words. And now let your words turn into action. Surprise deliveries, I live 205 River Road. It's not too late yet. The funny thing is, I actually sent someone from church, Laura, she sent me a message saying, happy birthday. I said, thank you for your kind words, but how about you act upon your faith? So, 9 o'clock the same evening, my doorbell rang, and I'm just thinking like, more, oh no, not now, I'm watching the match, you know, and kind of like, so. There they are, Andrew and Laura, with the bag full of treats. So it's an invitation for everyone to follow. Good. Amen. Be generous. That's the word for today. The Lord once told me that, you know, he teaches some people to give and others to receive. I'm more of the kind of people who like to receive. What is this? Sorry. Anyway. All right. Anyway, let's get started here. And, you know, I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist or doctor, anything like this. I don't claim to know all the things. Just a couple of things maybe that I've experienced or that I believe the Bible is very, very clear about. I'm just going to share this today with you. And I think my objective is for us to actually work on, to let the Holy Spirit work on the unrenewed mind in us, because the unrenewed mind is probably the greatest danger that the church can experience, because it resists that which the Spirit wants to do. Now, in 1 Corinthians, I think 2:14, it says the natural man, or the man with the unrenewed mind, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness to him. So Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and thereby prove that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. And so transformation, not just temporary change, but lasting transformation, occurs in direct relation to the change in the way we think. So if you want your life to be transformed, you got to change your thoughts, because there's a direct connection to the two of them. Let me just say this. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm also going to read a scripture from Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the likeness of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So in creation, God formed a body out of the dust of the earth, out of clay, and he breathed into the body the breath of life. So when the breath of life touched the body, the soul was immediately formed, and man became a living soul. So the soul links the spirit to the body. By the way, the word that is used for the breath of life here is the word ruach in the Hebrew, and it means spirit with a small s. Whenever you read the Bible and you come across the word spirit, spelled with a small s, it speaks about your human spirit. Whenever you read the Bible and you read the spirit with a capital S, it speaks about the Holy Spirit. So this is God breathing out a spirit to come into a body to take on the form of a man. The soul was created, man became a living being. There's something very interesting about heritage and origin here, right? So one third of you, your spirit man, came directly out of God. There's something powerful. This is why God always insisted to have a family rather than a community of servants only. So the word soul, from the Greek word psych, describes the individual personality, or you can also say the ego. The soul consists of three parts. It consists of the mind. It's the capability to think, to process thought, your memory, your conscience, your imagination. The emotions is your capability to feel, to experience emotions such as joy or anger. And then there is the will, which is your capability to choose. Now, the will is the most powerful component of the soul because the will can control thoughts and emotions. And the emotions are actually the weakest component, because God never calls us to live by how we feel, but by what is true. The mind is the most complex and actually links the two, because the mind acts upon how you choose to think, and your emotions will follow if your mind lines up with the truth that the Holy Spirit brings to your spirit. So the problem now is this. The problem is this, that at the fall, when sin came into the world, God made a promise. And in Genesis chapter 2, somewhere he says this. He says, Adam, you can eat from every tree of this garden, but do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, even though up to this point physical death did not exist, and it came as a result of sin together with decay and sickness, now, this scripture doesn't speak primarily of physical death, it speaks of spiritual death. How do we know this? Because Adam lived another 900 years, but God said, in this day, when you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. And what happened is, it wasn't that then his spirit just disconnected, just disappeared, but it disconnected from God, and the uninterrupted flow of fellowship with the presence of God was immediately disturbed. And that has been the inheritance of every human being ever since, who has Adam, the first man, as his father. So what happens then? What happens then? Jesus Christ, sent by God the Father, comes to this earth to die on the cross. He's buried, and on the third day, he rose from the dead. So he ascended, he appeared to man, he ascended into heaven, he pours out the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit was given primarily to come and to regenerate a believer's heart or a believer's spirit. So the Holy Spirit and the Word of God together come to someone who's seeking after God, who's crying out for God, come to reside in there and to make that which was lost new. Ephesians 4:24 says this: put on the new man, recreated after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. The new man again speaks of the spirit. It speaks of that part that came out of God in the first place, that was perfected but corrupted, now being restored once and forever, sealed by the Holy Spirit. That is extremely powerful. So your spirit man is that part of you that is makes you spiritual. And whether you believe it or not, you cannot be more spiritual than you already are. And also, you cannot really grow spiritually, because you've already received a divine nature in your spirit that came directly out of God. And that spirit is mature, that is perfect, it's recreated in true righteousness and holiness. Now, what you can do is you can grow in the experience of the spiritual things, or you can grow in the understanding of what your spirit already knows. Ephesians 1:17 says this: beloved, I pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation would come to you, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you would see and understand the inheritance in the saints. To understand the inheritance in you, the understanding in your soul has to be enlightened. Enlightenment happens by the truth. The truth comes to you by the word of God and the Holy Spirit making that very word alive. So this gives you a platform to work from, because this is extremely powerful, because if you understand who you are in the Spirit, you will understand why Jesus was able to say all authority has been given to you. Now, if your spirit wouldn't be able to have that authority, if it would be a small kind of like fragile being or whatever, you could not contain that. It also says that your spirit knows all things, and it says that all power I have given to you. But where does that exist? It doesn't exist in your mind or in your emotions or in your will primarily. It certainly does not exist in the body, who's probably only there for 100 years, if you're lucky, but it exists in your spirit. Now, sanctification technically means for your soul to catch up what God has already done in you in the first place. So when we sin, we do sin not because of our sin nature, because that nature, that part of us that was corrupted, died, we've become new in the spirit, but it's because the desire to sin still dwells in the realm of our soul. And that has to still be regenerated. We are not immediately sanctified, but the Christian light, or as Paul calls it, the outworking of salvation, is for now your inner man to come into line with that which is really true, which the work that God has done in you, which we also call the new birth. So this is the work of the Holy Spirit in us to actually sanctify us. So that not only our spirit, but at the end of the day, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, our soul and our body will also be kept and preserved blameless. Do I know exactly what that means? Do I know whether you can reach the perfection here or not? I don't think so. But there is mystery to some of these things we do not know. But the truth is, you need to know in order to have power over sin, power over the enemy, power over the negativity in your life, who you are in the spirit. And most people do not know who they are in the spirit because they've never been taught. And they believe they are the product of what they think or what they feel. But if you are only a servant to what you think or what you feel, the Bible calls that a soulish person or a natural man. And the natural man cannot commune or receive the revelation or the things of the Spirit because it's hostile against the divine nature. That was a good word right there. Another thing which is very interesting is, like, people talk to me all the time about I cannot see in the spirit. I cannot understand spiritual things. I cannot discern the things in the spirit. You know why that is? It is because you've never been taught how to do it. Now, in the Gospel of John, Jesus says very clearly to Nicodemus, he says, unless you are born again of the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God. The implication is, if you are born again, you can see. Why? Because God would not give you a spirit or birth a spirit in you with a handicap. But your spirit sees all the time. Your spirit discerns all the time. The problem is you do not know it. Why? Because you're not renewed in your mind and your soul cannot yet comprehend all of that. But listen to me. Let the prayer of Paul become real to you, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened to the truth. And things will start to change. You will start to experience more of the peace, of the flow of God. See, the fruit of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, they exist in fullness in your spirit. They exist there. Joy, love, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But it's now for us to allow that to come out of us. How do we do it? By the renewing of our minds. How do we do it? By allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us. But if we do not know that, and if we only are people with a natural mind, we will not allow that to happen. Why? Because we do not like that. We do not like change. We do not like sanctification. We do not like when the Holy Spirit points things out in our lives we ought to change. Why? Because we are imprisoned in our own way of thinking. However, anything he does always leads to good, to the liberation. So that you actually become the vessel that he can use for his glory and honor. Because how do you think the power of God is released through you, even though when we were laying on the hands earlier on? How do you think what happens? What happens is that God gives you a gift to pray for someone for a sick. So healing comes out of God through your spirit. You choose to lay your hand on someone, and the very contact with your hand on that person transmits some of the power. Now, I know that God can come on people and just heal them like that, and he does it. But the main time he gives us the doctor, the majority of time, he wants us to be involved because he loves to share who he is, and he loves to share his glory, not with another, but with his own very people who are his bride. So this is why we are invited into partnership. But God moves not from the outside in, he will move from the inside out. This is why even Paul says, like, physical exercise is of some value. And I do physical exercise. And I say for some people that's actually a key into spiritual breakthrough. But that's another topic. But I'm saying this. I'm saying that spiritual exercise is even of more value. So obedience is to listen to the promptings of the Spirit in you and then to act upon them. Now, sometimes you might not feel like it, and sometimes your mind might even tell you, oh, don't do it. But you know what? The will is more powerful. And the moment you activate the will, you link the flow of the Spirit through your body into this world to bring forth change. So this is how faith works. Hebrews 11:2 says this: faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Now, people always think faith is blind, or I just gonna do it by faith because I do not know what happens. But faith actually sees. Faith sees on the inside before you see it on the outside. Now, faith is a substance, but where is that substance from? How does that substance come about? It's when you receive a promise from God, when God gives you a promise from the scripture or a prophetic word, that substance or that promise is received first in your spirit. The Holy Spirit will then empower that and encourage you to actually believe that and to act upon that. And all of a sudden you start to have desires, you start to have emotions, you start to see things, you start to see something in your heart internally before it comes about externally. What is the next step? The next step is to actually deal with the voice from your mind telling you, oh no, that cannot be God because I am not worthy. That cannot be from God because he wouldn't do anything like that. Doesn't fit into my concept of who he is. He wouldn't do anything like that because he's never done it that way. And it didn't work for others, it didn't work for me. So there's immediately a resistance. But then again, your will is more powerful. So what you need to do is you need to choose to line your thoughts in line with the word of God, with the truth, in order to make that connection, to create that unity. And the next step then is you start to speak what you see. What happens when you speak what you see? It happens, your spirit, your soul, and your body are all in perfect unity, come into alignment. And you will see the promise of God come to pass. And trust me, one of the things I realize now is that many times, maybe the things do not come the way we expect them, but they come. But often, the things that we think that could not be God, it actually is him. Why? Because he is not embarrassed by blessing us in a big way. So faith sees. Faith is never blind. It's sometimes the difference is maybe if you got to trust him. That's maybe a difference. Sometimes I know that we will do something that doesn't make sense and it requires us to trust him. I still do it. Like, what does it say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Again, do not lean on your own understanding. If I lean against the wall, I expect the wall to hold me. But if I lean against my understanding, it might not be able to hold me, but I trust in the Lord. And so trust sometimes requires us to do things that we might not be able to see, where we might not know the consequences. Like, you hear stories from missionaries threatened in their lives to do certain things God asked them to do, and they are completely insecure. They do not know, but they trust God, and God will work it out. But faith, the substance of things hoped for. Now, when you pray for people, don't pray, God, give them faith so they can believe. Pray for them to get hope in the first place. Because hope is the framework in which faith is cultivated. Hope, the things hoped for, this is where our faith anchors in. So when we pray for the communities, we pray, Lord, let that spirit of despair disappear. Let people catch hope. Let people expect something good is about to come. Because the moment they can grasp that there is a difference, there is something that can be different, faith starts to function for them as well. But this is how it works. This is how the Spirit works. And it's the same with speaking in tongues. I love speaking in tongues, and I believe that every person who's filled with the Holy Spirit can and should speak in tongues. Why do I say that? Because Paul says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 14, the chapter about tongues, he says, when I pray in tongues, it is not I who's praying, but my spirit is praying. My mind is unfruitful. And God has given every spirit the ability to have a language, to commune with him directly. Why do I know it's not just for some? Because God wouldn't give you a mute spirit just as much as he wouldn't give you a blind spirit. So you can speak in tongues. But some people say, well, I don't know how to, but here's a key for you, and that will strengthen your spiritual life. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. The disciples were all gathered at the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit fell. They began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Some people have this mystical idea that the Holy Spirit just overwhelms them. They get completely tied down, out of control, and he just speaks out of them. This is not what is happening. But they speak in tongues, and as they start to do it, as they start to, by faith, as they start to, as an act of their will, to try it, the Holy Spirit comes along and shapes those words and molds them into a language more and more the more you practice it. But it requires an act of the will. Again, your will is the most powerful component in your soul, because your will links the flow of the Spirit through your soul, through your body, out of your mouth. And then what you do is you utter mysteries in the Spirit and you change something in the atmosphere, you change something in your spiritual life. But you got to understand that it's happening from the inside out, and it requires a certain part of our own to actually come into line with that. And I believe that it's something everyone can do. And if you want it, you just need to ask someone maybe to pray with you. But speak in tongues, it makes a lot of sense. I'll share you something very interesting. My own mother, and she is not embarrassed for me to share this, but approximately 2 years ago, she came to visit us. And one of the things you don't, to visit us for a week, one of the things you don't know about her is that, for approximately 10 years in her life, she suffered a great depth of depression to such a degree that there were days when she would not get out of bed. Or she would come home from work and immediately go to bed from 5 o'clock at night to the next morning. She would not see any people, nothing. And she had doctors involved, she had a lot of people involved, a lot of psychologists, secular Christians, and so forth. And it's better now. It had to do with some things. It's okay now. She's fine now. God bless her. She's experiencing God in a really profound way, which is really, really good. However, when we spoke about some of these things, and we spoke about that. We spoke about the nature of a man and how do you relate to God and so forth. This is what she said. She said to me, up to this day, I did not know there is something like a spirit in me that can actually have the control over my soul. I thought what I hear in my mind, that is the spirit. And she could not separate the two of them and make the difference. So the result was she could never have any authority over her thoughts because she didn't know how. So there is something for us to learn. There is something for us to grow in order to actually function the way that God designed it. And I don't say, and I don't say that you cannot be a Christian, you can't be depressed. That's not what I'm saying. The opposite is true, I believe it can happen. But I'm saying there are certain things in the divine order, the way God made them, God created them, that can help us and that can lift us out of a valley of darkness into a place of light. Now, when David was at the depth of his experience in the process of becoming the man who he was meant to be, and his entire friends, his own armies, everyone had turned against him. It says he strengthened himself in the Lord. Now there is a key for you when you go through a difficult thing. It's to strengthen yourself in the Lord. How can you strengthen yourself in the Lord? The same way like Paul says to Timothy, stir up the gift inside of you. And there's a part on our side to play where we steer that which is inside of us. And when we start to again take our rightful place, and let the government of God in us rule and reign and line up in our minds, in our bodies, who we're meant to be, and rise as a church in these days to be as powerful as we can possibly be. And there's a process, there are difficulties, things don't happen like that, you press a button. I'm struggling with many things in the renewed mind for many days. There are many strongholds or obstacles I need to overcome. I know that. Kind of like, but don't let these things steal the truth from you. But it's only those who practice the truth on a constant basis, kind of, that will actually gain the victory. And what did God say when he led the Israelites out of Egypt into the promised land? He said, you will not go in by once and just drive out all the nation, but little by little. Why? Because he knew it would have been too much for them. Isaiah speaks about line upon line, precept upon precept. But there is a growth. And growth in our soul it must be governed. It must be dominated by who we are in the Spirit. Because God sees us who we are in the Spirit. That's why he does not necessarily always see us the way we see each other, picking faults. Because he has hope, he has put much deposit into us to become the people that we will be eventually, fully. But the same is true when you're prophesying. When you're prophesying, you got to be very careful, like what you're saying. Again, the natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit, but their foolishness to him. You got to discern. If you have the Word of God abiding in you, you are able to discern between that which is spiritual and that which is soulish. Hebrews 4:12 says that the Word of God is powerful and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the separation or to the division, to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and the thoughts and intents of the heart. But here's something. When you prophesy, be someone, as Steph said last week, who has the Word of God abiding in you, because otherwise you might speak from the wrong source. A lot of stuff we hear in the church today is not prophecy. It's well wishes, or it's like words being said because we feel like emotional towards the situation and think and feel obliged to actually bless that person. I remember 2 years ago, a friend of mine needed some money. And I felt as a Christian, I have to go and give him some money. That's just what I need to do. So what happened is I put money in an envelope and wanted to give it to him. And the Lord rebuked me. And the Lord said to me, kind of like, do not give him that money. I'm like, why, Lord? Kind of, he shouldn't be a cheerful giver, generous. And he says, no, because I'm teaching that person something about stewardship. Now, immediately the need occurred. My soul thought, I need to go and do something about this. However, the Lord's way was not meant to be like that. But he prompted me and says, no, I'm doing something completely else with that person. So you stay out of this one. And I'm saying, kind of like, if you have the Word of God abiding in you, you'll be able to discern, like, what is the will of God for you to do in what situation? What is the responsibility you ought to take on and not? Too many people, they have a burnout because they cannot say no. But I'm telling you, sometimes to say no is not only you protect yourself, but you protect the loved ones around you. And also, when you do that which the Lord is telling you to do, and you do it, you will have the grace and the power to do it really effectively. But too many people get involved in things and think they need to fix relationships or other stuff. And they're not meant to do that at all. But they think they have to do it. Why? Because they're a product of their mind. They just think they have to do it because they do not take the time to quieten their hearts and listen to what the Spirit is telling their spirit and then giving them. So all I'm saying is, let's be of those who are not natural, but let's be of those who pursue the things that are spiritual. Now, trust me, the life is good, and we need the most precious thing we actually have is our soul. That's why the Bible speaks about the prosperous soul. But we want to be healthy in our minds. We want to be healthy in our emotions. We want to be healthy in our relationships. We want to be healthy in all of these things. And we want to enjoy the good things in life, the physical things. They're all there for us to be enjoyed. But we ought not to be dominated by some of them. But we are to be dominated by God inside of us. There are two things here. I believe there's faith for. And if you come up for prayer at the end, you can be prayed for, I believe. One is, just as my mom became aware, I want you to be aware that you have a spirit and that you're loved on the inside by God. And maybe it's something you've never experienced. Maybe you're struggling with your mind. You're struggling. You just do what you feel like doing all the time, and it leads you into more disaster. Maybe you need some healing there. Prayer can fix that. God can fix that. But the other thing is, like, if you want to speak in tongues, you've never done it. Maybe it's also good to receive some prayer, someone to pray with you to actually help you doing that. You know why? Because you benefit from that. So I believe there's faith for these two things, but I leave it with that. And I think this is the end for today, at least. I can't find anything in my notes. So anyway, bless you.
Thanks, Andre. There we go. Just in case you take that off in your next trip to the foyer. Those of you who were here last week, listening last week, paying attention, you will know that our theme for the summer is back to basics. And if you knew that, or if I've just told you that, then perhaps you're sitting there thinking, well, this doesn't seem particularly basic or fundamental. This seems kind of deep and spiritual and advanced. But we thought and prayed and talked a lot about this when we were sort of picking the themes for the summer. This is the most fundamental thing. Just in the way that DNA is the fundamental building block of who we are, this is absolutely fundamental to everything. And if we get this, then everything else that will be spoken about this summer will come into sharper focus, will make sense to us. When we understand who God is and understand who we are in relationship to God, then everything else clicks into place. Steph spoke last week about reading the Bible. By the word of God. What did Andre finish? What was one of the last scriptures you said? The word of God divides soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts of the heart. So my encouragement to you is go home. This message will be up on the website at some point. Hutch, right? Putting pressure on you here. Listen again. Listen to it again and again and again and again if you have to. Because if we get this, it will be completely transformative to our lives. So I'm going to pray now. Andre mentioned those two things that there's faith for this morning. One being that we can receive the understanding of these things and understand who we are, body, soul, spirit, in relationship with God. And the other being praying in tongues specifically. Now, there may be other things that individuals need to receive, but what I want us to do is close our eyes. And if one of those two things that you want to receive this morning, if there's something else you need from God, just put your hands out in front of you to receive, just as a physical act in your body to receive from God. Bring your thoughts just quietly now as I pray. Jesus, thank you that you created us in your image. You created us body, soul, and spirit. You gave us thoughts. You gave us emotions. You gave us a will, you gave us a body, and you breathed your life, you breathed your spirit into us. You made us whole. You made us to be human beings. And I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, that you would just go over this congregation now, those who are holding out their hands ready to receive from you. You would just impart to us that gift which Andre was speaking about, the gift of understanding and knowing and having clarity about who we are and who you've made us to be. Breathe into us again, Holy Spirit. Bring a congruence to our being that we would come into alignment with who you are. If there are those who are here this morning hungry after spiritual gifts as your word commands us to be, I pray you would impart to those hearts this morning the spiritual gift you're bringing to them, especially the gift of tongues, which is like a healing for our souls. And Holy Spirit, accomplish all this because your kingdom is advancing. It's stirring up. It's moving in our midst. We need your transforming power. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Otherwise, we are wasting our time on this earth. But Jesus, you have a purpose for us. You have a plan for us. You have a kingdom that you are building, and you are using us to do it. So Holy Spirit, accomplish this for your name's sake, King Jesus, for the sake of your kingdom, for the sake of your authority in this land. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, for everything that we've heard and done and shared this morning. We ask that you would just seal it up to us and impress upon us the importance of some of these things. In your precious name, Jesus, amen. If you want prayer specifically, if you want Andre and maybe the elders as well, you can be available. If you want prayer, whether it's for healing something in your body, whether it's for something in your mind, maybe whether it's for something spiritual, Please come to the front. We'll keep these first rows on both sides available. If you want prayer, grab someone. Take the initiative here. Thank you for being here this morning, and go and enjoy your Sunday.